New big picture numbers tell us just a little bit more about where the economy may be headed. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Consumer prices edged up 0.2% from May to June. That is less than expected. We also saw U.S. retail sales up 0.6%, a good bit above expectations. So let's talk about what this means overall with Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mark.
So the retail sales numbers came in a bit above expectations. What are you seeing there? What does that tell us about the big picture?
It's the third month in a row where we had solid retail spending. Food and beverage sales, which were solid. Non-store sales continue to be strong. This pattern we've seen the last several years continues, where consumers hunker down in the first quarter. We saw the savings rate increase. So in other words, income was growing at a decent pace, but people just weren't spending. And just when we start to worry about that, they reemerge in the second quarter. We had very strong numbers in April. May was decent. And then June, we have a solid report rounding out the quarter.
So what's driving these increases of people getting out there and spending, and how sustainable is that?
What's really driving it is, partly, we once again saw the cost of medical insurance rise this year. We tend to sign up for insurance at the end of the year, and then we spend a couple of months saving, essentially putting money aside to pay for anticipated higher medical costs. Then the economy was back to business in the second quarter. The U.S. economy, I think, is in pretty solid shape.
Okay. Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. Thanks,
as always. A bill requiring labeling of genetically modified ingredients
is
headed to President Obama's desk. This comes after years of debate. Much of the food industry wasn't crazy about GMO labeling, but many corporate leaders ultimately came around to the idea of one national standard being better than a state-by-state mix of different laws. But the bill's passage doesn't end the debate over exactly how to label foods with GMO ingredients. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace explains.
The federal bill would override a labeling law that just went into effect in Vermont. Tom Astrup with American Crystal Sugar says he thinks the new bill is a sweet deal.
It avoids a potentially unmanageable patchwork of various state labeling laws.
It would require companies to somehow signal genetically modified ingredients. It could be either through text, a symbol, or a QR code. And that's where some activists are really dissatisfied. They say the QR code gives companies an out. Like, who's going to go that far to get detailed ingredient information? Michael Swanson is the chief agricultural economist at Wells Fargo.
There's a segment of the population that enjoys reading food labels.
In any case, he says this legislation is probably headed straight to court. So
we're probably 5 to 10 years away from understanding what that food label really means for any real purpose.
And regulators still have to settle on which food items would even be required to have a label. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
The GOP convention next week is a national political event, but for Ohio companies large and small, it's also a business opportunity or a business problem. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has been reporting from Cleveland and will be there for the convention. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
So corporations, they typically have big presences at both conventions with ads in the stadiums and big parties, but a lot of big companies have taken a pass on sponsoring the Republican convention. What kind of impact is that having?
Well, you know, there does seem to be some skittishness. I talked about this with the head of the Cleveland Host Committee for the Republican Convention, and he told me corporations are taking a bit longer to make financial commitments. Walmart was one of the holdouts. It finally did contribute $15,000 to the Cleveland Host Committee. Coke gave $75,000, but Coke also issued a statement saying its contribution, quote, does not represent an endorsement of any specific party or candidate. So they're very cautious.
Now, you've talked to a lot of people in Cleveland's business community. Are they expecting a boost from hosting the convention?
A number of them have told me they are hoping for the best, planning for the worst. It also depends on what kind of business. Hotels, restaurants, the big chains, they're going to do really well. But the small businesses are afraid they're going to be overlooked. They may be tucked away in corners of the city that are off the beaten path. And also, a lot of their regular customers, office workers, are either going to stay home that week or have a real struggle getting into work. Construction workers, though, did really well in the lead up to the convention, in the convention preparations. Cleveland added 1,000 new hotel rooms, for example. Convention boosters say those new rooms will help them lure future conventions to Cleveland. We'll see if that works.
Let's put all this in context a bit. Cleveland and the state of Ohio were very prosperous for a long time, but then suffered in the same way that a lot of Rust Belt areas did some years back. How's it been doing lately, and what's the outlook for the economy there?
People are so proud of their city. There's a main drag. It's called Euclid Avenue. In the 20s and 30s, it was a shopping mecca with all these grand old department stores. And then it did go into decline after World War II and into the 70s and 80s. But then a lot of urban renewal was done, and people in Cleveland are eager to show off their city.
All right. We'll leave it there on that Renaissance note. Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And finally, an unusual crowdfunding campaign means a young woman can answer the call to be a nun. Alita Taylor was accepted into the Sisters of Life convent in New York, but the sisters told the 2010 college grad she had to take care of her student debt before entering. So she started an online campaign through GoFundMe. People quickly responded, and she has now beaten her fundraising goal of $12,000. She says donations over that go to charity. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.